There is a growing movement to end the U.S. economic blockade on Cuba and remove Cuba from the U.S. State Sponsors of Terrorism list. Protests have been held about those issues in the weeks leading up to the U.N. General Assembly vote on ending the U.S. blockade. Diana Block is with the Bay Area Cuba Solidarity Network. She spoke with KGVM contributor David Rosenberg before the General Assembly vote about the blockade and Cuba's overall relationship with the U.S.
Okay, so why don't we start by just having you say your name and your affiliation?
Okay, I'm Diana Block. I'm with the Bay Area Cuba Solidarity Network.
Okay, and you're having this action on Saturday at the Grand Lake Theater to end the embargo. This is something that comes up every year at the UN where there's this overwhelming vote to end the embargo or the blockade. Do you expect the same thing this year?
Yeah, most definitely. And yeah, we use the term blockade because it really more accurately describes what the state of affairs is, that there is a really total blockade that the U.S. has imposed on Cuba for over 60 years, and that the whole world, except for two notable exceptions, stands with Cuba on the need to end the blockade. The notable exceptions are the United States and Israel, which seem to be taking the lead on repression and genocide worldwide. And so it's very important.
How about those little island nations that sometimes vote with the U.S.?
Yeah, there have been abstentions. For last year, Ukraine abstained, and perhaps a couple of other nations abstained. They didn't vote for the blockade, which is only U.S. and Israel have done that. But there are some abstentions, which obviously are for political reasons because of the way the alignment with the U.S. and Israel materially. And yeah, so, but, you know, the rest of the world plainly sees that this is an illegal, harmful, damaging blockade that impacts all the people of Cuba and impacts everything, such as the Cuban power system, which has been in the news for the past few days due to the really terrible blackout that occurred, which almost there's no way to see it except as connected to the blockade, because the Cubans cannot purchase fuel and they can't replace their outdated equipment due to the blockade and all the many financial restrictions that are imposed upon their trade. And, you know, this isn't only a matter of the U.S. and Cuba. The way the U.S. has constructed the coercive measures against Cuba, it involves third-party countries and the ways in which the U.S. then takes action against those third-party countries that dare to trade with Cuba. So,
and yet the Cubans have managed to survive all these years by getting around it somehow or by finding allies in various places.
Well, yeah, they have. They do have many allies. That is true. So people power and allies, international solidarity is another way of putting it, are the ways in which Cuba manages to survive, persist, and in many respects thrive despite what the U.S. is doing. But we can see at this point that the U.S. has actually ratcheted up the restrictions against trade with Cuba. And Biden has gone along with that, even though initially in his 2020 platform, he said he was going to take Cuba off the state sponsors of terrorism list. He never did. He backed down on that. It's more politically convenient for him to continue to keep Cuba on this list, which is has Cuba has nothing to do with terrorism. In fact, it has acted against terrorism in so many regards, and yet it is left on this list, which further complicates their economic relationships with many countries around the world, since it comes with a whole set of sanctions.
So you had the opening to Cuba under Obama, then Trump came in and reversed much or maybe all of that. And so what would you say about Biden and a possible Harris administration? You just mentioned Biden. Has he done anything at all to loosen up the restrictions?
Not really. I can't say that he has. Of course, we can. We hope, we insist that if there were a Harris administration, that it would reexamine. I mean, Harris has in the past, like other politicians, has expressed concern about the impacts of the embargo, but nothing has been expressed recently. So we can only hope and advocate. So this is why this UN vote is very significant, because it is coming before this election. It is another advisory to the US that they should change their Cuba policy. They should be wanting to work and with countries around the world and align themselves more globally with countries who do see that this blockade is really a criminal act against Cuba and its people. So certainly we hope that a new administration would have a new policy towards Cuba. And that is part of the timing of this this human billboard flyering. It's really trying to build awareness.
Is this across the country as well?
This weekend, October 26th and 27th, there are going to be actions across the country in advance of the United Nations vote, which is going to be on the 29th and 30th. And also on the 30th, in San Francisco, there will be another rally that we are participating in that will be at Powell and Market at 4:30. And that will be to talk about the results of the vote, because by then we will know what the UN vote has been and we will be able to shine a light. We don't really expect that it will be different from previous years, but we will be able to speak specifically about the vote this year on next Wednesday, the 30th.
Any sense of what the vote in Congress might be if there was such a vote?
Okay, that's beyond my political predictiveness capacities. But I will say that there are many members of Congress who have tried to introduce resolutions, to introduce changes in Cuba policy. Unfortunately, they have not really been successful in doing that, but we continue to try and work with different people in Congress. We look forward to working. I mean, Barbara Lee has been someone who we have been able to work with and who has a more positive Cuba policy. We're not sure, of course, who her replacement will be, but we hope that we will be able to work with that person around developing or advocating for a better Cuba policy. These are all hopes. We continue to be hopeful and we continue to be persistent, because there is no reason, there is absolutely no reason why a country that is 90 miles away from the U.S. should be suffering a blackout of the proportions that Cuba and the Cuban people just had to endure because they can't purchase parts for their system, for their generating system. They can't purchase fuel. This is really not the way that our country should be dealing with a neighbor. And people all over the United States, polls have shown that people advocate for dropping the blockade. But unfortunately, those polls have not translated yet into action on the part of any government administration in the past 8 years, anyway.
So there has been some cooperation between the US and Cuba on certain issues, right?
Yeah, there has been some more opening of well, as you pointed out, during Obama, there was much more opening. And so we of course thought that was positive, although we were wanted more because we really want the end to the blockade altogether. But yes, there have been different openings. There have been a few minor openings to increase business, private business development within Cuba. And that has also been welcomed by the Cuban government.
Yeah, American business wants to get into Cuba. They're being
American business does want to get
outdone
into
by
Cuba,
Europeans.
right? But it has to, because that is the case, it seems like it's the larger geopolitical strategies that are at issue, and the fact that the US is threatened by any kind of alternative to its to US capitalist model of economic and social development, or not development, as one could say. And that is what Cuba offers to the world. It offers an example of a socialist project. Cubans wouldn't say that that they have accomplished that socialist project because there have been so many obstacles, but it is a development in process. And they have done amazingly, as you point out, even though they cannot trade, they cannot travel with the country that is closest to them, the major country, the major power, the US. And the Cubans are eager to establish, friendly relationships, but that has not been possible. And I mean, Obama did travel to Cuba, which was wonderful. It was a first step. Unfortunately, that first step was not followed by other steps. It was, in fact, reversed. And we really call upon whoever becomes the next president to shift and change categorically the relationship with Cuba. It does not do the United States any good in reality, and it certainly doesn't do Cuba any good. And we think there are, well, many, many reasons. And please come to our rally on this Saturday, October 26th, to find out more reasons, because we will have flyers, we will have information, we will have speakers. But mainly our goal is to do outreach to people who people, I think, do not understand how dire the situation is for Cuba at this point in time.
And anything else you want to add?
Well, I really appreciate you covering this. I think, Cuba has been in strong solidarity with Palestine in this past period. We know that the Bay Area is very activated. KPFA has been very activated regarding coverage of Palestine. I think when we say Cuba supports Palestine, now we have to support Cuba. It is really critical for people to see them as both as part of international solidarity in this era, and that they are both leading struggles against the US empire. So, thank you.
Thank you. Okay.
Okay,
Have a
David.
good rally.
All
Good
right. Thank you
talking
very
to you.
much. And when are you going to, when this
I
is?
guess this won't air until Saturday, so
Oh.
we will announce the November 30th rally, though.
Okay. October 30th.
I'm sorry.
Did I, if I said November 30th, which I could have, please,
Probably not. No.
it's October 30th. And yeah, if you have any connections with your comrades in the other news department, or to just at least announce the October 26th. I know I can't, the whole interview wouldn't be on, but to if
I
people would
actually send the longer
announce.
version to other stations. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thanks a
Okay.
lot, David.
Thank
All
you.
right. Have a good
Bye-bye.
day.
You too. Bye-bye.
That's Diana Block of the Bay Area Cuba Solidarity Network speaking with KGVM contributor David Rosenberg. This interview was released on October 29th, 2024.